Bloody November, written by Jared Jason Mendoza, narrated by Emma Dumont. Chapter 1.
You remember the dumbest things in life at the dumbest possible moments. This thought occurs to Penny Bradley as she huddles up against the wall of a dark alley while suffering from a massive headache. Of all the things that come to mind, she thinks about a lecture one of her teachers once gave. It wasn't so much a lecture as it was an exercise in rambling. "Kids, we're all connected," her teacher once said. "Every one of us. Life is like a spider web. If something happens in one end, it causes a change in the whole dang thing. So what I'm trying to say is that you should stay away from spiders. I don't like spiders."
The teacher then went on to describe various close calls that he had with spiders throughout his life, and proceeded to put Spider-Man cartoons on the class TV, because it was Fun Friday. This was Penny's sophomore history class, and the class had absolutely nothing to do with spiders or Spider-Man. Through the pain of a splitting headache, Penny marvels at how, of all the classes she's taken, she only remembers the most pointless tangents from the teachers that never really talked about the assigned subject. Memories are weird. As the random thoughts flow through her head, she begins humming a tune as a way to further distract herself from her current situation. The humming does not help. "Good God, my head hurts," Penny mumbles to herself. As she continues her psychological self-immolation, a figure slowly emerges from the shadows. Stumbling along with alien, almost slow-motion movements, Penny was oblivious to the figure and continued arguing with herself. "Why did I snort that crap?" As the figure shuffles closer, Penny finally hears the dragging footsteps. "Hey, who's there? Stay back, mister. I don't want any trouble." The mysterious shadow ignores the plea and gets nearer and nearer. An agitated Penny speaks up. "Look, you stupid prick. I'm not in the mood for this." As the specter walks past a sliver of encroaching moonlight, Penny realizes it's a zombie. She carefully reaches into her jacket pocket and slowly pulls out a small knife. She extends the blade from the base and prepares to strike. "Oh, it's one of you. What's with you guys? Don't you get it? You're not my type." With a burst of adrenaline, Penny rises quickly, and after a brief jostle with the slow and weakened entity, she jams her knife into the back of its head. Quickly, she pierces between the skull and spine, ravaging the brainstem and ending the life of the zombie. The ghoul lays motionless on the dirty floor as Penny stumbles and braces herself up against a wall. "Whoa, that's not going to do my head any good," she says as the pain makes a return appearance. As she gets her bearings, she returns to the corpse and takes out the knife from the back of its head. She fumbles through the zombie's tattered pockets. "What, no wallet?" Penny flips the body over and starts talking to the corpse. "But you things are always good for at least $5. Penny is hit by a buzz, and the absurdity of the moment hits her. "Man, I'm messed up. I'm having small talk with a corpse," she says to herself with a small smile on her face. Penny stumbles to the edge of the alley and sees a small pack of zombies coming down the street. She yells back at the corpse in the alley, "Look, your friends are here." The zombies slowly keep walking toward her. "I swear, I'm like catnip for these things. If only I had this luck with cute rich guys, I'd be set." Penny turns to the alley to say her final goodbye to her recently redeceased zombie friend. "I'd like to stay and keep you guys company, but I think your friends are as poor and ugly as you." "What can I say? I'm a shallow girl." Penny gathers her meager belongings in her bag and stumbles out of the alley into the street. The zombies try to follow, but even in her buzzed state, she quickly leaves them behind. She is free and clear into the night. Chapter 2. Just a few blocks away, in the university district, a group of bandits load up some trucks outside of the Medical Research Center loading dock. The bandits have hit a shipment of antibiotics and medical supplies, which in this new world order are very valuable. The chaos of the preceding moments has died down, and now they are quickly looking to leave the scene. A young but hardened bandit named Gino walks up to two security guards standing next to the recently arrived medical supply truck. They are Steve and Ponch, and they have just betrayed their co-workers and any sense of loyalty for a big score. Gino eyeballs the two nervous guards and asks, "You have the keys to the truck?" Steve looks on awkwardly and mumbles an amazingly unconfident, "Yeah?" as he stares blankly at Gino.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?